Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and I promise this week's episode has more content of substance than whatever Capcom did at E3. And with me, I have...
Friggin' plumbers don't wear ties? Really, limited run? Really?
And...
I came to kill chaos and fuck bitches. And I ain't got the ladder. Damn it.
There's never any bitches. but seriously, like, look, I understand that, like, there's money to be made in, like, 90s nostalgia. But, like, of all the things. Fucking. God, man. Just. What, does, like, the Super Ultra Limited Edition come with, like, the soundtrack on vinyl or something? You know what, because I didn't even click that, I probably should have, because I have to know what editions are they freaking putting out of this shit. I honestly completely blanked that, like, E3 was happening this week. I was just like, I know there's the Nintendo thing. Oh, that's right, and the rest of the game week, too.
Yeah, all I know is Ubisoft had, they got some weird shit on there, like you know on the I think on the Twitch stream where they were doing the hype train thing, the hype train whatever thing it goes. It did that shit, like when they played on Far Cry 6 or whatever. It went up when somebody's grandma got killed. Like that is somebody. You brought the hype train when somebody like, oh no, Granny got shot. That's the most inappropriate time to do the high tray, and then do it again. Everybody got murked.
Oh my god!
Normally you one call Exposito.
Okay, so it's just a tweet announcement, so nothing yet. And well, I mean, okay, there is Dust getting a physical on Switch, which we already knew that was happening. It was supposed to come out last Halloween, but it got delayed. When's the date already? Sorry, I'm still salty about that particular delay.
Yeah. Well, here's another thing around E3 is like, well, he's got another good show about Devolver. Always doing their thing.
Yeah. And there's always Nintendo to always save the day.
Like, geez, at least there's one or two things to look forward to. But yeah, we'll find that out the day after we're recording this. Anyway, here we are, episode 225. How's everyone's week been going?
Been another normal week, only with more E3 watching, which, some of these shows, man, they are just, underwhelming. Well, let's just call this E3 Lite for what it is. Next year will be the big test to see whether or not this whole, event is still viable, but we'll get there when we get there. As for other stuff going on, it's just been more of the usual. I showed up on Tyler's show to talk about the Netflix stuff that got announced last Friday. That was pretty fun.
Yes, you should all go listen to that episode of The Training Stage.
Yes, I had to download Microsoft Edge on my computer because Zencastr does not work with Safari. So, yeah, listen to it.
Oh, God, the horrors.
Yeah. May we all one day be free of this chromium hell, because, Safari is, zero sugar soda. It's not too super fancy, but it's got all the taste, and compared to, Chrome, which is extra sugar, and it'll just bloat you. Like your computer's memory.
You know, you say it like that, but, like, I like sugary soda.
I did too, but I've been off it for 2 years, and I just can't go back anymore.
It's just my way of, like, I just need the sugar. For me, sugar-free or, like, zero-calorie sodas, it's like taking the venom out of a cobra. You're just left with a very angry belt.
Yeah. I had to do it for the sake of my own health as well, but, yeah, that's a personal choice that I made. Yeah, just more of that. I'm going to try my luck to see if I can find a new console this week, because there are supposed to be restocks happening, and I've got an Xbox One X here that's just waiting to be turned in for the new one, if I can find one. But I probably already jinxed myself anyway, so good job, me.
The internet is, yeah, it's been hell. I have not made any attempt to look into a PS5 yet. Just none.
Don't do it until the M.2 slots are active.
Pretty much. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Not much has happened this week for me, at least personal-wise. I mean, I did what every motherfucker did that week and just watch a bunch of E3 stuff, mostly saying how good or bad the conferences go, and I guess control was out of how awkward some things went, I didn't see Capcom's because I thought, you know what, fuck it, I'm just gonna stop now. Reason I remember most of Ubisoft because, like, I know the whole, when they played After Music, the whole thing got I remember when they were playing stuff for Just Dance, the whole thing got DMCA'd,
yeah.
It's like, why you can't play music, because, like, and even when it showed other stuff, like, look, it's that show from There's Always Sunny Guys, which you can watch Apple TV. Which they can't play that shit. They can't play that shit either. Which, wow, they did not think this. They didn't. Wow, Twitch didn't think about this shit, or whoever doing this is got their orders messed up. But yeah, if I would say which conference, Ubisoft, not really all that great. Devolver, of course, always funny as hell. Microsoft, they did decent. Well, they did good. They did decent. They're all right. Square Enix, well, I know some people were mad.
Why only PC and mobile, though? Switch is right there. It would be perfect for this.
But, you know.
Plus, nobody likes the versions of the old school Final Fantasy games that are on PC and mobile. Those are just, like, stuff we settle for. Because apparently, I guess the Game Boy Advance versions weren't good enough, even though those are the best versions. Well, and I guess the PSP port of the original, but, you know, that's a whole tangent.
Yeah, this is mostly my weekend, just watch a whole bunch of stuff with people I know. But, yeah, that's been it. That's it.
Yeah. Anyway, as for me, like I said, I kind of completely forgot about the thing, but, one thing that did happen a little bit prior to the past week or so, apparently I got a tax refund.
Like, yeah, I did too.
Like, that happened. I wasn't expecting that, which, no, now that I think about it, I think that might have something to do with why TurboTax kept emailing me, even though I had already filed my shit.
I can explain that because we were stupid. We filed early before the American Rescue Plan was signed into law, which meant about $10,000 and change of federal unemployment income, tax-free.
Yeah, that's what they were emailing me about. They were like, oh, do you want to amend just in case? And I'm like, do I want
to gamble on that? You didn't have to. They did it automatically.
All right, fair enough.
Wait, so do I have to do shit to get more?
It's being done automatically if you filed before the American Rescue Plan was signed into law. So you should be getting some money in the mail or deposit.
I hope so. I need, because since that sweet tax return money and stimulus money that's all gone now. Damn,
just a little heads up. If you remember the math you did for your tax return, it might be more than you thought. Mine was way more than what I thought it was going to be.
Okay. I hope there'll be more money in the bank coming soon for me. Please, so there'll be more money in the bank for me.
So, yeah, like I said, that's how I was able to scrounge for some new, new-ish headphones for recording all this. Basically, I found the model that I was using for like $40 on eBay, so this should fill in until Black Friday, where I can get something that's a little more recent of a model, pretty much. You know, this is at least doing the job nicely. I kind of like my stability with my headphone models. Also, shelled out for some various mangas here and there. Yes, including ordering that Fist of the North Star release that's coming out this week. Fingers crossed this finally ends up being a full English translation of the manga, like, all the way through. And also Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney, like, DS copy and everything. You know, might as well get in on that now while it's a... You know, I blame Tyler for that. He now has me having the urge for DS collecting and also playing. I see you there, Tyler, you fiend. But, yeah, all that was pretty good, and just, you know, going through the week as usual with the usual business. And, yeah, speaking of usual business, let's take care of our usual business. As always, we start off with the new song discussions for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us and pick up some new tunes to jam out to. Starting right up at the top, we of course have the... Well, second to most recent iteration of the bedroom covers from 2 Minutes to Late Night. Yeah, they came out with one the day we're recording this. We, of course, missed it because, you know, we got to cut off the line at some point for the week. So, yeah, the last one that they recorded that we are talking about now is a cover of I Would Die For You, the final single from Prince's 1984 classic Purple Rain. The original song, which... You know, I'm pretty sure I've heard this song before. I've just never been fully cognizant of who Prince was until, you know, years ago. So this is more me listening to it, knowing it's Prince for the first time. Very synth and dance heavy, pretty damn catchy. You know, it's Prince. And as for the cover, your lineup is as follows. Urien Hackney of Rough Francis and the most recent album from The Armed on drums. Bo Luters of Harm's Way on guitar, Rachel Rosen from the band's Most Precious Blood and Indecision on bass, Walter Schreifels from Gorilla Biscuits and Quicksand on guitar, and this list of vocals, do we go by this chronologically or alphabetically? Because they got fucking so many people. Like, just, like, I think the cover total is, like, close to 20 fucking people. Just that's the biggest lineup for any of these goddamn things. And some of your vocalists here, or at least all of them anyway, is like, okay, so you have James Munoz from The Bled and X'd Out, Mike Lennon of Healthy Scratch, Pete Bruno from Tyrannosaur, Brody King from God's Hate, Miss Eves, Dwid Hellion of Integrity, Malachi Keys from the band Dog Meat, which was apparently Gwarcenio Hall's old band, Jenna Pup from the Hers Collective, Shauna Potter from War on Women, Lisa Mungo from Filth is Eternal, Jamala Asus from Ithaca, Ryan Bland of Ache, Christina Michelle from Gougeaway, nice, Jeffrey Eaton from Modern Life is War, and probably the two most interesting and exciting for me personally, Dimitri Minakakis, original vocalist of the Dillinger Escape Plan, and the headline vocalist here, motherfucking Randy goddamn Blythe. Jesus Christ, how much more people could you squeeze into this? And yeah, as you can expect from that cavalcade of musicians, the style of this one is firmly like New York styled, like metallic, hardcore, metal, to a T with tons of fucking rhythmic, meaty-ass chugs at a steady tempo, tons and tons of vocal growls, a full-ass chorus of gang shouts to back up Randy himself, and I guess we know how many metal vocalists it takes to fill in for the presence of Prince. I guess that was the exact right calculation they had to make, you know?
But, yeah, Randy Blythe singing Prince wasn't something I thought I needed in my life, but once again, I am left totally surprised by this endlessly growing collective of talent. This was a great rendition, and as they said in the description, New York hardcore. Very fun, very good.
A plus. Anyway, moving on to the next track here, which is just one musician here, Tierra Whack, with another song that is some sort of commercial tie-in promotional thing. Last time it was with the Lego Corporation. This time it's a song called 76, which I guess is supposed to be some kind of promotional anthem for the Philadelphia 76ers. I don't know if that's working out for them. I don't pay attention to their playing, or basketball in general for that matter. But I will say, it's fitting. The beat has that very thumping, stomping rhythm, like the excitement of a basketball game, decent momentum. Not really a sense of melody there, just lots of, you know, energy and shouting that I guess helps make the crowd go nuts for when the 76ers win, I guess? I'm not sure what their win-loss record is this season, don't ask me.
Yeah, this does feel like a, this is like, well, another sports answer, but hey, but hey, by T.R. White, and it's, what you expect from sort of like something like this, but, you know, more, I would say more of her style, but I don't know if it's her style or not, just a little, just like, a little bit more, you know, energetic cheer, cheer, rah, rah type of shit. That's what I got from it. I mean, it's a little like a minute and a half long, but yeah.
I'll chime in on here because I'm a sports guy. I'll chime in fully on my basketball fandom and knowledge and say this is fine. It works fine as a sports arena anthem. For the record, the Sixers are in the Eastern Conference semifinals of the NBA playoffs right now. They're playing Atlanta in the background right now as we speak. They're up 2-1 in their series, so I mean, they've been a playoff contender, but they're not at that level yet. They still have a couple more hurdles to climb over. But, yeah, otherwise here the track is it's good. The Brooklyn Nets could use a song like this because James Harden and Kyrie Irving out with injuries. Oh, my God, just throwing the towel already, guys. Jesus.
Yikes. But anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, with the most recent edition of the album Roundup, go listen, we talked about the posthumous release from Sarface and MF Doom, Super What. But now we have another posthumous song here, MF Doom, featuring on a track from Your Old Droog. Wouldn't be the first time they did a track together. There was a BDE from 2019's Jewelry, a track that also featured Matt Kami, coincidentally enough.
Yeah. You know, energy was pretty good for what I heard on the album. But yeah, babe, yeah, we have another both of them call Dropout Boogie, which is, like, you know, he's out of school, all that shit. We got this weird-ass beat from this producer named Edan, which, did I spell, Edan or something? I don't know why I sound like something like some motherfucker from Godzilla or some shit, but yeah, that's like the producer's name. And, Yeah, and why did you say? I say, perhaps do the whole thing like I know your old Drew, like old Drew has his own style of I don't say more like swift rap, but more like I wasn't getting into it like for a while, and then he got Doom Part doing his thing as well, and it's still ever, and even in depth, Doom of Doom still kills it, but yeah, this is pretty sweet one off track for something, but yeah, which you can get this, you can pre-order this for, this as a limited edition vinyl, in case you didn't figure that out. So yeah, if you want to own that on that, sure, go ahead. This track's pretty sweet.
Very nice. Moving on to the next track here.
Speaking of basketball shit or sports shit.
Yeah,
we're still about, a little less than a month out from Space Jam 2 Battle for Reality, perhaps featuring or not featuring Goku. But the soundtrack for that is, of course, dropping July 9th. And we have a second track here, this one called Just For Me, which is a collaboration between St. John minus the O and with very strange capitalization, and SZA, which is at least a name I do recognize. And, you know, now that I think about it, this isn't related to anything. But are they really doing MST3K for the original Space Jam with the Teen Titans as promotion?
Yeah, I think so. You saw it too.
I'm not entirely sure I get the point of that, but okay.
I'm just mad they didn't offer it to me. I would have done it for free.
Oh, wow. Free? Alex, I thought you were a better shill than that.
That's just how I get my feet wet. Then I get the big money later.
Oh, you're playing the long con here.
Always long game up in here.
Anyway, as for the song itself, I mean, it's a solid enough instrumental. It sounds like what you would expect given, well, at least SZA on here. I don't know about St. John minus the O here. But if you ask me personally, as far as, like, SZA songs that are on soundtracks to blockbuster movies, I'll take the Black Panther soundtrack piece over this, to be honest. That's just me.
This is a song that also sounds like a love song. And you're thinking, well, this seems weird and out of place for a Space Jam movie. Have you listened to the rest of the Space Jam soundtrack from back in the day?
Yeah.
this is just like a very standard. I want to say a very standard love song. St. John, he got this weird voice thing. He's going to like. So what I hear from usual R&B singers that has some wit that often do that shit. Like it's whatever. SZA, she does well here, and of course, it's whatever. I do a bit, but again, I'm the guy that says I wonder what the rest is going to be like, and haven't read what's going to be in there, or at least for what little tidbit I heard. Like listen to like I watched the trailer that like a few days ago. I heard in the trailer a version of Pump Up the Jam, and I'm hearing who the fuck is that? It's like Pump Up the Jam, like, and then I'm looking to say that's a little Uzi. Oh shit, that's a little Uzi.
Oh no.
Okay.
Come on and slam. The song is fine, but it feels really out of place for what this movie is going to be. And this feels like more like a track I hear in the credits of a rom-com. Unless Eyepatch Wolf was right, only LeBron James is in the role and not Michael Jordan. That could be a possibility, but I will say this. For You I Will and I Turn to You, this song is not...
Not quite at that
level of sultry 90s R&B. And two notes. Both of the songs were written by Diane Warren. They got Diane Warren to do songs for the Space Jam soundtrack. And that Monica song for You, I Will, produced by one David Foster. Also kind of wild that they got him. And just to round things out, I Turn to You by All for One. Hello again. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis were the producers on that track. What a small world we live in.
Yeah, a very, very small world. And on that subject...
Yeah, I wonder what they've been up to now.
I had to work for that, thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean, they were, the big players in, Janet Jackson's career. They also worked with the Human League. You don't know how that went out. Great Train Records episode. But, so Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, they are, for as long as they've been in the game, they've apparently never released a proper full-length studio album themselves. Until now. Well, not technically now, today, but, it's coming out July 9th. That next month, same day as the Space Jam soundtrack, their first proper full-length studio album, Jammin' Lewis, Volume 1. So, that's happening, and we got the first taste of the album, a collaboration with Mariah Carey called Somewhat Loved. And, I mean, look, you've all heard at least, one or two Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis songs at this point, so you probably have a good idea of how this is going to sound. Lots of those delicate R&B piano melodies, some really quirky synth work here and there, finger snaps and hand claps in place of, proper snare in the percussion, and of course Mariah Carey being Mariah Carey. You pretty much know the game at this point, so, I mean, it sounds solid enough for what it is, it's just not my absolute most prioritized thing in the world, to be honest.
I'll say if you're missing that Jim and Lewis sound from long ago and then there you go. You got the check here, and of course I love production, the production, the snaps, Ross vocals fit way well on there. Yeah, I'm kind of interested in that. I will point out, reading the Stereo Gum piece, Somebody actually in the comments said, I hope they get Phil Oakley. Like, no, no, I don't want to hear Sway Part
2. Oh, Lord.
That's the dumbest song I ever heard, and yet I still listen to it every fucking day. It sounds like a fucking, it sounds like a fucking Chucky hair out of a Chucky 80s anime.
Well, this has the hallmarks of that great period of late 90s into 2000s of R&B and pop, just with a bit more modern flair in the production. Otherwise, it's a very pleasant listen. And geez, according to the Stereogum piece, they collabed back in 2000 with Thank God I Found You from, of all the features they could have gotten, it is the most 2000 of all, 98 Degrees and Joe. Y'all remember Joe? I remember Joe.
Who the fuck is Joe?
Yeah, I do have been there. Honestly, I'd much rather see this show up on Stereogum's the number one's column instead of this friggin' Will the Power medley that we swore we'd never speak of again.
Wait, is that the one with Freebird in it?
Yes.
Oh, fucking God.
Stereogum, I know you need clicks. Don't go that low.
We had a whole segment in a really old, probably kind of lost at this point, Bennett the Sage video about this.
Yeah, friggin' Content ID ruins everything.
Thank God for the Internet Archive. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So we got entry number 6 from the 2021 Adult Swim Singles Program, courtesy of a group with the very strangely named, strangely spelled, rather, Morning Black Star, with a A in brackets in the middle and some missing letters. Self-described, according to their own website, as, quote, a multi-generational gender and genre non-conforming amalgam of black culture dedicated to servicing the stories and song of the apocalyptic diaspora. Well, I'll take their word for it. I don't know anything about this group, so... The song we have here is called Open Spaces, parentheses for Fred Moten. I did not look up who that is. I probably should have. But as for the song itself, it's driven a lot by a lot of very dense and lush piano chord progressions and melodic runs, with good use of, trumpet lines, you know, dense in the mix, and some really great, beautiful sounding vocals in, like, you know, the gospel choir style and some just real belting in there. It's kind of a bit sparse on percussion in the first half, but then as the drums slowly make their way in, the song becomes a lot more like acid-y jazz fusion type of thing, sounding very unnerving and surreal as, you know, the keyboard work gets very trippy, especially with like more of the way the horns find their way in there. It's pretty solid. I might have to keep an eye out on this group.
The drums work, you know, we're pretty much in the background because it is more of the horns, everything else in there, and it's flowing pretty nicely. It nicely just gave you this strange ominous feeling that got every time I was to it. Yeah, it's pretty good stuff.
Yep, and speaking of Adult Swim singles, moving on to the next track here. All right. Yeah, I figured it was probably about time for these guys to get back to the studio, but we're getting a new Def Heaven album this year, Infinite Granite, due out August 20th, this time on Sergeant House, same label that I think put out The Arms' most recent album. Guess they're not on Anti for the time being. And so to coincide with this album release, we of course have the first single here, Great Mass of Color, and okay, I suppose this was inevitable at some point, especially given where their last studio album left off. But the vast majority of this track is much more pure, full-on shoegaze alt-rock than anything they've done before. You know, it's got a lot of those really bright, melancholic shoegaze chord progressions, kind of very nostalgia-evoking in a sense. The vocals are pretty much damn near all clean throughout the song, more so than any other song I've ever heard from them. Save for, like, the final minute or so of the track, which has, like, a couple screams and maybe just some milder shouts buried there in the mix as things saturate a bit more. The drum work is probably still, like, some of the more intricate stuff on the track, with a lot of very specific incorporation of fills and symbolic situations and weird sticking patterns to punctuate the rhythms and all that, especially once it gets to the heavier final minute or so. Look, I've been on the record. I don't care about this band. I mean, it's fine. It's inoffensive, but I'm pretty sure I could find some better shoegaze to jam to.
Well, I'll be more complimentary here and say that, yes, this is certainly different. It's more melodic and post-metal than their typical black gaze sound that was prevalent on their last album. It sounds like a purposeful shift with some new production at the helm, namely Justin Mello Johnson as producer, who has been the bassist for Beck's backing band and has done work for apparently Nine Inch Nails, Paramore, and St. Vincent. That's interesting. With Daryl Thorpe on board as mixer, who has worked also with Beck and Radiohead and Foo Fighters. I'm not sure how much of an influence they're having on the sound, but there seems to be a lot more polish with the production. Almost too much polish in parts, but I'm down for something in this style. I'm growing more fond of this more atmospheric, post-metal kind of sound. Which reminds me, we need to hear more stuff from Astronoid sometime soon. I would love to hear another album from those guys.
It's been a couple years, fingers crossed. And now, with that out of the way, time to move on to our last track here. A track with artwork that I probably will not be able to ever Photoshop into any future episodes or album roundups. Just because, you know, I try to maintain some level of decent taste, even throughout my bad Photoshops. But, yeah, with some poking and prodding and fun internet teasing, we have learned that none other than Lorde herself has announced that she has a new album coming out sometime soon. No date yet. We just know from the artwork and the title track that it's called Solar Power, which, you know, I sincerely hope this one at least has, like, a bit more legs. Like, not that Melodrama wasn't successful or acclaimed, but like, for as much as the people who liked it seemed to like it, it kind of faded like within a year. That kind of bumped me out, because that was pretty a good much. album.
So
the new single out of the way, might as well see what she could possibly be teasing on the horizon. And this one revolves compositionally mainly around this kind of muted acoustic guitar chords and this kind of warbled synth that occasionally punctuates the parts of the songs, with Lorde's vocals very, well, optimistically performed, relatively speaking. There's still kind of a mutedness to it all, but she sounds relatively happy compared to, you know, where her first two albums were. You know, the lyrics are very, like, you know, nature-laden. You know, I'm pretty sure that's supposed to be the motif of Solar Power as an album. Just vibing out on the beach and everything. It's very, breezy. It's pretty good for what it is. It does feel like kind of a turn, given what she's recorded and sung about in the past. Then again, maybe she's just really happy to come from literally the only country that had a 100% excellent response to the coronavirus pandemic. Maybe she's just rubbing that in our faces. Which she can. I don't blame her. We cut. Just. Damn. I never thought I would be jealous of New Zealand on anything. But yeah, it's a pretty solid jam overall.
Y'all want a summer jam? Here you go. It's complete with some more polished Lordisms. And you'll never guess who worked on the track.
Do I want to know who?
Hello again, Jack Antonoff. You seem to be getting plenty of work nowadays.
Yeah, the guy's everywhere.
I have heard this guy pop up on so many pop tracks and albums beyond what Taylor Swift's been doing lately. He must have a real good gig and real good agent to get him all this work.
Yeah, or I guess I heard that people like him because he's not a creep, from what I heard.
Yes, that helps. Not being a creep does help. Although, then again, being a creep doesn't really mean much, considering some people still get jobs when they really shouldn't. But that's neither here nor there. But, the track is, It's serviceable. It gets the job done. The teaser artwork did feel like it was coming on too strong compared to the video, which is more conservative with its approach, but I guess that's... I guess you can't go too far unless you have certain privileges on YouTube, because God knows some artists do, while the rest of us suffer.
Yeah. This is just, you know, a bunch of... I just want things to, like, finish already. I know we can't fast forward to the happy ending, but a guy can dream. And with that out of the way, that takes care of the new song discussion. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we got some news here, so stay tuned. And we're back. We've got a few news items to discuss here. So first up, let's take another trip over to the either silver screen or streaming screen, depending on whichever you're deciding is a good idea to go out now. So a couple weeks back, we talked about Japanese-British pop singer Rina Sawayama making her acting debut in John Wick Chapter 4. But she's not the only musician who will be making their screen debut at some time in the next couple years. We got another one on the docket here. Care to tell us what's going on here, Mark?
Yes. The next musician to make the film debut somewhere is none other than Freddie Gibbs.
Ah.
So he'll make his feature film debut in a role movie called Down with the King. According to a report from a Complex, he'll portray Mercury Maxwell, or rapper that goes by the name Money Merc. That's not his name. It turns out in the movie, it's that Merc wants to leave hip hop because he wants to record a new album, and he sits to a house in Massachusetts, and I'm giving he puts a name who's a farmer, meaning the rapper to announce retirement as he focuses on being a farmer. So yes, Gibbs being a farmer, I haven't seen that before. These people, the crime pays over about 2 years ago, which it seemed that, but yeah. So I know the movie, like, Gibbs wrote and performed music for it, which okay, we're getting the Gibbs and give music for that too. It's written and directed by someone named Diego Oregano or Garo. Okay. Also people like Jimmy Newman from Lovecraft Country. I need to see that. I heard good things about that. David Krumholtz from The Deuce. Sharon Washington and Bob Tarasek. Okay, this seems like somebody going to say that they don't know well, which is done before, which okay. Alright, it's been done before, but we'll give it to him. Alright, that'd be fine. I mean, it don't give it to his film debut here. Although, I will add, his other debut was the one time he appeared in Loiter Squad in that one skit where, I know the one skit where, they're doing the parody of this, storage show they're doing, Gibbs playing the pimp from somebody else, and he bitch slapped everybody up in there, and him wearing a wig, because everybody know that nigga bald.
God, that was like forever ago. I miss Loiter Squad.
Yeah, we all do too. But yeah, we interesting seeing how Gibbs and considering, because I know some reviews of people say, he kind of looked like Mahershala Ali or Michael K. Williams or basically any dark-skinned bald motherfucker.
But anyway, moving on to the next track. Why did I say track? Fuck. Story here.
Story?
I'm out of it. But look, do I have to acknowledge this as an event? It's the VMAs. It's just the filler thing that, you know... Actually, I'm not sure what's more dignified, the VMAs or the Grammys. Then again, that's kind of like more like two vultures trying to like pick at a corpse for the last pieces of rotting meat.
Yeah, that's
but what, we're just bringing it up because the MTV Video Music Awards still happening this year, and apparently it's set for an in-person show. So I guess it's not going to be one of those weird, you know, everything is on a very suspiciously virtual-looking stage. That's like a kind of uncanny valley where it's like just enough like a real city landscape that you can notice the artifice of it all, and that makes it weirder. That's just my opinion, though. But yeah, September 12th, live from the Barclays Center in New York City. You know, they're, actually, why are they airing that after 9/11?
Yes,
it's apparently going to be part of a week of activities MTV is going to be hosting. It's for a good cause. I mean,
you know, because when I think of honoring those who died on 9/11, I think of the music video awards show from the same company that refuses to release Rugrats on physical media.
Yeah, it's one of those things. But let's not bury the lead. This will be an in-person event at Barclays in Brooklyn, which means we're not going to get any of those terrible Unreal Engine 2 graphics again, except for maybe those augmented reality stuff, which hopefully they should just get rid of because they look horrible. But yes, this is part of our gradual rollout of going back to, you know, seeing stuff happen in person. Like, I still have my ticket to see Between the Buried and Me in September. I'm going to go there hell or high water.
Yeah. I mean, that seems like it's more worth it than whatever they're going to have lined up for the VMAs.
Which we don't know yet, but I'm sure it's going to be a bunch of the usuals.
Yep. I wonder how low they will go this year when they come on. And if they say they're going to air... Hold up. Not being the Grammys, never mind.
The Grammys is airing on a Monday, I think. If I recall correctly.
This will be on a Sunday, like it was last year, which... who knows? We might even see more people tune in this time around just for the casualty, the curiosity pop is what I'm trying to say, not the casualty pop. Although I'm sure watching the VMAs is in and of itself a casualty.
It's basically rubbernecking. At this point, that's why we're watching.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on to the last story here, we have a festival announcement here. Specifically for the Day in Vegas Festival, taking place November 12th through the 14th at the Las Vegas Festival Grounds. So, we have a pretty big hip-hop lineup here, predominantly speaking. So, who wants to take over the first day Friday?
I do.
Okay, you're right.
Okay. Your headliner for Friday at this fantastical event here in Las Vegas, Friday, November 12th. Motherfucking Kendrick Lamar!
Aw, shit.
And it says here, one night in Vegas from Section 80 to Damn, a career-spanning set.
Damn.
That sounds like a show of a lifetime to go to.
That's a big...
That would be great, but new album. We know what's going to happen. Just come on.
Patience.
In like 4 years, but yeah, patience.
We went through a whole presidency. That's how long we've been waiting. Anyway, rolling down the list here for the first time at this festival, we also have here DaBaby, which, yes, this one is for North Carolina. Raise up. All right, we have here YG.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, we have Ari Lennox.
She's from Dreamville, I think, yeah.
Okay. Polo G.
Wait, didn't you get arrested today? I think, or sometime in the past week. I'm pretty sure that happened.
All right. We also have Isaiah Rashad.
Another top dog rapper, yeah.
Yeah. Jasmine Sullivan.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, yes, right here. Pen tweet from XSL Magazine. Polo G arrested for battery on a police officer, resisting arrest, and more. How fun.
Ooh. Mm.
Ugh, lovely. Anyway, we have here Thundercat!
Yeah! Woo!
This guy does not deserve to be lower billed than friggin' YG. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
All right. We also have here Flatbush Zombies.
I already heard from them in a long while.
Yeah. All right. Kenny Beats.
Whoa, Kenny.
Nice.
Cool. Boss? Bass? How do you say that?
Boss. Also from Dreamville.
Boss. Okay. Okay, good. All right. We have here Lucky Day. Cool. Madlib.
Nice.
All right. Young M.A.
Ain't heard from her in a while.
She had a new album out last month, I think.
Hey, oh yeah, that's right. I don't care what Young M.A.
Well,
but,
dang.
Okay.
All right. We have Umi.
Okay. I'm
saying that right. Tyler Yahweh. Okay. D Smoke. DDG. Fushi. IDK.
Yep.
All right. Larry June. Joyce Rice. Kenny Mason. Zoom in here. Young Baby Tate. Tia Corinne, Baby Rose, a lot of babies here, TK Maidza, Seiko P, Looney, Tiamar, what a name, we'll drop the tongue, Deidre Mossy, Poti Baby, another one, yes. Nana, your grandparents, your grandparents. Primo Rice. Big Sad 1900. Beans.
What the fuck?
Beans.
There's a meme involving that, but yeah. All right. Another Party Fam. And DJ Hellrel.
I'm sorry, your grandparents. See, that's how you know we're running out of fucking rapper names. You gotta come up with shit like that. Or whatever kind of act they are. Anyway, Beans. I'm gonna take over Saturday here. So, for Saturday, your main headlining act is Travis Scott, who sadly does not have a McDonald's meal anymore. Mm. Actually, who am I kidding about? That was barely a meal at all. You can do better. You got outclassed by BTS, you fool.
Yeah. That sauce is good, too.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I say like, I like to say truly more than the occasion, but it's still good.
Nice. Anyway, for the rest of the lineup here, you have Lil Baby.
Yeah.
You have Doja Cat. Saweetie. Mm-hmm. Baby Keem. You know, I should have started up like a counter. How many baby named rappers show up on this list? That's like, what, we're already up to like my second hand at this point?
We're up to number four, up to five so far.
Five, right. Suicide Boys, Corday, no YBN, Joey Badass.
Hmm.
Majid Jordan. Freddie Gibbs.
Cool.
Tinashe, where you at?
Where you at?
There's Bia, B-I-A. Bulgzist. I think it's Blast. Or Blast. Or Blessed. I don't know. Latto.
Yeah, by the way, that's the artist formerly known as Mulatto, because she changed the name because, one, yeah, that name should have been named in the first place.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember hearing something about that.
Yeah.
There's Saba.
Hmm.
There's Toozy. Sleepy Hallow.
Yeah.
Chef G.
Mm-hmm.
Duckworth. Sheck Wes. So Fago. Are they affiliated with Insane Clown Posse?
Probably not.
Unfortunate. Eve's Tumor. Hey,
haven't heard this name in a while.
That's nice.
Very, very nice. Knight Lavelle. BRS Cash. Audrey Nuna. Tay Keith.
Fuck these niggas up.
Flip Dinero. Super Saiyan God Kobe. I assume that's what the SSG stands for. Red Veil. Kamari. Mareba. Strick. Mid, another X in there. I'm gonna say Midwest, I guess. Fanta Hughes. Fabo, Ilem, Goon Des Garçons, and then there's like an asterisk for something.
I think it's Goon de Garçons, because it's probably some French thing.
Yeah, but then what's with the asterisk? It doesn't point to anything on here. Louval, Ronsky, and Shobanga. DJ William Stokes. That name sounds vaguely familiar. Anyway, and PJ Say Cheese. Okay, this is half of this, I'm pretty sure, is just coming out of a random word generator at this point.
Every time.
That's why we do these things, because saying the lesser known names is at least a little bit humorous.
Yeah.
And that just leaves Mark now to take care of the lineup for Sunday.
Do it.
Yep, now we have Sunday. And the headliner is somebody who I hope has a new album coming out this week. I mean, maybe this year. Since a new single's coming out soon. Tyler, the Creator.
Let's go, new music. Come on, let's go.
Don't keep us holding out, man. Quit teasing.
Yeah, right. Next up we got... Oh, look here. SZA.
Nice.
All right. And we got... Oh, Pump Up the Jam. Damn it. Little Uzi Bird.
Hopefully, whatever he's getting paid to perform this festival will be enough to cover the surgery costs of the gem removal. Yeah, he got that thing taken out.
That's right. I guess he didn't want to be Uzi Universe.
Apparently, it took however many months to realize this was a bad decision.
Yeah. Sorry. Right, we got Snow Allegra. Yeah, I don't know how to say that. Don Toliver. That's still the weirdest name I heard. Don Toliver. Okay, anyway. Oh! We got the Griselda crew in here!
Look at the time, yo.
Yep, I was wondering why the alarm was going off.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. 24K Golden.
Oh, my fucking god. Okay.
Okay. We got Sir. Another Top Dog rep. Oh, looky. What's the guy here? You got motherfucking Denzel Curry.
Wonderful. Here's hoping he and Kenny Beats collab on their sets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. All right. It's just mentioned somebody from Odd Future. Got Earl Sweatshirt.
Very nice.
All right. But he was got Queen Naja. All right. Got Schnott with a dollar sign.
Huh.
All right. Kota the Friend. Who the fuck is Kota?
I don't have any friends in that.
Colin FR, 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 okay? That nigga don't know names, okay? Now you got Beano, I mean, Beano Ryder, it's one of those ox names. Okay. Oh, looky here, we go nasty.
Hey.
Okay. All right, we got Flo Milli. We got Chica. We got Ravina. Was that a Mortal Kombat character?
I don't know.
All right, got AG Club. Got Victoria Monet. You got Bayface Ray.
Seriously, ain't that the barbecue sauce that a lot of people buy? I'm thinking of Sweet Baby Ray's.
Yeah. Right. Okay, we got Cash Page. Got Peace Street Rascals. Well, I think. Okay, but that's not like a bad group that every. I figure Ed and Eddie would do. J.I. Okay. P-Lo. Okay, oh, wait a minute. J.I. P-Lo. Q. Damn, y'all just ain't coming up with names no more. We got Genevieve with a J. Okay. Bankroll Hayden. Okay. Time Major 9.
Maybe. Maria is not.
Yeah.
That's a chord, I think.
Okay, we got Maria Isabel. That's okay. That's a normal ass name. Sean Sloan, another normal ass name. Ice Cold Bishop. Damn. Breland. CD Hendrix. Unusual DeMont. Trey Armani. Nikhail Smith. Almond Milk Honey. Kitty Cash. And Oxcord. It's my name, Oxcord, in here.
I'm not even sure that's the name. I think someone just printed out like something from a supply list that they needed.
Give it up for Oxcord. That'd be a simple ass Oxcord, like, there you go. Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is. Honestly, one of these days, I'm going to have to, like, go through, like, a history of these festivals and just, like, line up all the names and see if I could organize them in order of ridiculousness. If such a thing is even possible. I mean, seriously, Almond Milk Honey? Tiana, seriously, is it Major Ninth a chord? Like, a piano and guitar chord or something? That's just... I don't understand these days.
I think I heard that name before, to be honest. I think they're Grammy nominated, but... Right.
Yeah.
But yeah. But yeah, that's this festival. Oh, those are naked. I hope you enjoy hearing Kendrick do all he do basically his whole career.
Yeah. That's gonna be killer. Everything else is gonna have some standards to live up to. But anyway, with the news out of the way, now we can talk about just one last bit of business, and that is the new album releases for the week of June 18th, 2021. I totally typed that year correctly in the thing here. I don't know what you're all glaring at me for. Anyway, starting right at the top, we have the, under very sketchy circumstances, release of the new Fear Factory album, Aggression Continuum. You can just, you know, listen to the first time we talked about Fear Factory on this podcast for proof of that. This band I haven't heard about in a fucking long-ass time. Hacktivist with Hyper Dialect. Well, since fucking Dennis DeYoung is putting shit out, I guess that also means Styx's gotta have a new project out. Crash of the Crown. There's a new studio album from Gucci Mane called Ice Daddy. And last but definitely not least, a new album from her called Back of My Mind. And with that out of the way, time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internets?
As always, Aura of Azure, where I continue to give very delayed E3 reactions and responses. Although, by now, the whole thing will be over. So, no more delays! Except for games, because they'll always get delayed.
And how? And Mark, what about you?
As usual, on Twitter, Max Heaven Media, on my site, mindheaven.wordpress.com. Yeah, that's it.
And as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@surrealresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Spotify. New episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up on the official YouTube channel, so subscribe, hit the bell tab so you're notified whenever anything goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SurrealRezo. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website, surrealresolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all of that good stuff. Be sure to jump into our Discord so you can snark about the game announcements that we're getting. And, of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. Eve, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, see you next week for more of our weekly shenanigans. And until next time, come on, Sakurai, you know you want to do it. Tetris L block for Smash.